Line 249. Come in, let us give way with our horses. No longer storm on so far among the champions, for fear you destroy your heart's life. Then looking at him darkly, strong Diomedes spoke to him. So this is Diomedes to Sthenelus. Argue me not toward flight, since I have no thought of obeying you. Okay, don't tell me to run away. I'm not going to listen. No, for it would be ignoble for me to shrink back in the fighting or to lurk aside, since my fighting strength stays steady forever. I shrink indeed from mounting behind the horses, but as I am now, I will face these. Pallas Athena will not let me run from them. These two men, their fast-running horses, shall never carry them both back away from us, even though one man may escape us. And put away in your thoughts this other thing I tell you. If Athena, of the many counsels, should grant me the glory, this is the Kleos, line 260, to kill both, then do you check here these fast-running horses, ours, tethering them with the reins tied to the chariot's rail, and thereafter remember to make a dash against the horses of Aeneas, and drive them away from the Trojans among the strong, grieved Achaeans. All right, so he wants to kill the men and get the horses. Line 265. These are of that strain. Oh, these are the horses. This is how special and valuable these horses are that Aeneas has. These are of that strain which Zeus of the wide brows granted once to Tros, recompense for his son Ganymedes, and therefore are the finest of all horses beneath the sun in the daybreak. And the lord of men Anchises stole horses from this breed, without the knowledge of Laomedon, putting mares under them. For these there was bred for him a string of six in his great house. Line 270. Four of these, keeping them himself, he raised at his mangers, but these two he gave to Aeneas, two horses urgent of terror. If we might only take these, we should win ourselves excellent glory. And of course, this is Mega Kleos, and you just had the pedigree of Aeneas's horses. Now, as these were speaking things like this to each other, the two came fast upon them, driving their swift-running horses. 275. First to Diomedes called out the shining son of Lycaon. Valiant and strong-spirited, O son of proud Tydeus, you were not beaten then by the bitter arrow, my swift shot. Now I will try with the throwing spear to see if I can hit you. So Pandarus couldn't hit him with the arrow, so he's going to try with his spear. Line 280. So he spoke and balanced the spear far-shadowed and threw it, and struck the son of Tydeus in the shield. And the flying bronze spearhead was driven clean through and into the corslet. And the shining son of Lycaon cried aloud in a great voice, "Now you are struck clean through the middle, and I think that you will hold up for much. I think that you will hold up for much longer. You've given me great claim to glory." Then strong Diomedes answered, not frightened before him, "You did not hit me, you missed, but I do not think that you two will go free until one or the other of you has fallen to glut with his blood Ares, the god who fights under the shield's guard." He spoke and threw, and Pallas Athena guided the weapon to the nose next to the eye, and it cut on through the white teeth and the bronze weariless shore all the way through the tongue's base, so that the spearhead came out underneath the jawbone. He dropped then from the chariot, this is Pandarus, and his armor clattered upon him, dazzling armor and shining, while those fast-running horses shied away, and there his life and his strength were scattered. But Aeneas sprang to the ground with shield and with long spear, for fear that somehow the Achaeans might haul off the body, and like a lion in the pride of his strength stood over him, holding before him the perfect circle of his shield and the spear, and raging to cut down any man who might come to face him, crying a terrible cry. But Tydeus's son in his hand caught up a stone, a huge thing, which no two men could carry, such as men are now. Hey, men who are born today could never pick up such a rock as this. But by himself he lightly hefted it. He threw and caught Aeneas in the hip, in the place where the hip bone turns inside the thigh, the place men call the cup socket. It smashed the cup socket and broke the tendons both sides of it, and the rugged stone tore the skin backward, so that the fighter, dropping to one knee, stayed leaning on the ground with his heavy hand, line 310, and a covering of black night came over both eyes. Now, in this place, Lord Aeneas of men might have perished had not Aphrodite, Zeus's daughter, his mama, been quick to perceive him, his mother, who had borne him to Anchises, the ox herd. So Aphrodite's been keeping an eye on her boy. And about her beloved son came streaming her white arms, line 315, and with her white robe thrown in a fold in front she shielded him, this keeping off the thrown weapons, lest some fast-mounted Danaan strike the bronze spear through his chest and strip the life from him. She then carried her beloved son out of the fighting. Nor did Sthenelos, son of Capaneus, forget the commandments that Diomedes of the great war cry had laid upon him, but he held where they were their own single-footed horses, with their reins tied to the chariot rail, apart from the confusion, and making a dash for the fluttering maned horses of Aeneas, drove them away from the Trojans among the strong-grieved Achaeans, and gave them to Diplas, his close friend, whom beyond all others of his own age he prized, for their hearts were intimate, to drive away to the hollow ships. Meanwhile, the warrior mounted behind his own horses and caught up the shining reins and held the strong-footed team toward the son of Tydeus headlong, line 330, and he swung the pitiless bronze at the lady of Cyprus, knowing her for a god. Remember that Tydeus now has the ability to recognize the difference between gods and mortals. Who's the lady of Cyprus, where she was born? Aphrodite. Knowing her for a god, and what did Athena tell him when she opened his eyes and said, you'll be able to recognize the difference between mortals and gods? Don't hit anyone unless you see which goddess? Aphrodite. Knowing her for a god without warcraft, and not of those who, goddesses, range in order the ranks of men in the fighting, not Athena, and not Enyo, sacker of cities. Now as, following her through the thick crowd, he caught her, lunging in his charge far forward, the son of high-hearted Tydeus made a thrust against the soft hands of Aphrodite with the bronze spear. And the spear tore the skin, driven clean on through the immortal robe that the very Graces had woven for her carefully, under the palm's base, and blood immortal flowed from the goddess, ichor, that which runs in the veins of the blessed divinities, line 340. Since these eat no food, nor do they drink of the shining wine, and therefore they have no blood and are called immortal. She gave a great shriek and let fall her son she was carrying. So she dropped her son. But Phoebus Apollo caught him up and away in his own hands in a dark mist, for fear that some fast-mounted Danaan might strike the bronze spear through his chest and strip the life from him. But Diomedes of the great war cry shouted after her, "Give away, daughter of Zeus, from the fighting and the terror. It is not enough, then, that you lead astray women without warcraft? Yet, if still you must haunt the fighting, I think that now you will shiver even when you hear some other talking of battles." So he spoke, and the goddess departed in pain, hurt badly, and Iris, wind-footed, took her by the hand and led her away from the battle, her lovely skin blood-darkened, wounded, and suffering. There to the left of the fighting she found Ares the Violent sitting, his spear leaned into the mist, and his swift horses. Dropping on one knee before her beloved brother, in deep supplication she asked for his gold-bridled horses. "Beloved brother, rescue me and give me your horses, so I may come to Olympus, where is the place of immortals," line 360. So Aphrodite asks her brother Ares, "I need to borrow your horses to get home. I am in too much pain from the wound of a mortal's spear stroke, Tydeus's son, who would fight now even against Zeus's father." So she spoke, and Ares gave her the gold-bridled horses, and, still grieved in the inward heart, she mounted the chariot, and beside her, entering Iris, gathered the reins up and whipped them into a run, and they winged their way, unreluctant. Now as they came to sheer Olympus, the place of the immortals, there swift Iris, the wind-footed, reined in her horses, and slipped them from the yoke, and threw fodder immortal before them. Line 370. And now bright Aphrodite fell at the knees of her mother, Dione, who gathered her daughter into the arms fold and stroked her with her hand and called her by name and spoke to her. "Who now of the Uranian gods, dear child, has done such things to you, rashly, as if you were caught doing something wicked?" Aphrodite, the sweet laughing, spoke then and answered her, "Tydeus' son Diomedes, the too high-hearted, stabbed me as I was carrying my own beloved son out of the fighting. Aeneas, who beyond all else in the world is dear to me, except that I dropped him. So now, this is no horrible war of Achaeans and Trojans. But the Danans are beginning to fight even with the immortals. The Greeks are even fighting with the gods. Then Dione, this is the mother of Aphrodite, the shining among divinities, answered her, "Have patience, my child, and endure it, though you be saddened. For many of us who have our homes on Olympus endure things from men, when ourselves we inflict hard pain on each other. Ares had to endure it when strong Iphialtes and Atas, sons of Aeolus, chained him in bonds that were too strong for him. And 3 months and 10 he lay chained in the brazen cauldron. And now might Ares, insatiable of fighting, have perished, had not Eurybia, their stepmother, the surpassingly lovely, brought word to Hermes, who stole Ares away out of it, as he was growing faint and the hard bondage was breaking him. Hera had to endure it when the strong son of Amphitryon struck her behind the right breast with a tri-barbed arrow, so that the pain he gave her could not be quieted. Hades, the gigantic, had to endure with the rest the flying arrow when this self-same man, the son of Zeus of the Aegis, struck him among the dead men at Pylos and gave him to agony. But he went up to the house of Zeus and to tall Olympus, heavy at heart, stabbed through and through with pain, for the arrow had driven into his heavy shoulder and his spirit was suffering. Line 400. But Paeon, scattering medicines that still pain, healed him, since he was not made to be one of the mortals. Brute, heavy-handed, who thought nothing of the bad he was doing, who with his archery hurt the gods that dwell on Olympus. It was the goddess gray-eyed Athena who drove on this man against you. It was Athena's fault that Diomedes attacked you. Poor fool! The heart of Tydeus's son knows nothing of how that man who fights the immortals lives for no long time. His children do not gather to his knees to welcome their father when he returns home after the fighting and the bitter warfare. So, she says, Tydeus doesn't know any better than to fight the gods, because he won't get to go home. Line 410. Then, though he be very strong indeed, let the son of Tydeus, Diomedes, take care lest someone even better than he might fight with him, lest for a long time Aglaia, this is the wife of Diomedes, the wise child of Adrastus, the king of Sicyon, mourning, wake out of sleep her household's beloved companions, longing for the best of the Achaeans, her lord by marriage, she, the strong wife of Diomedes, breaker of horses. That was line 415. She spoke, and with both hands stroked away from her arm the ichor, so that the arm was made whole again, and the strong pains rested. But Hera and Athena, glancing aside at her, began to tease the son of Cronus, Zeus, in words of mockery, and the gray-eyed Athena began the talk among them. "Father Zeus, would you be angry with me if I said something? It must be the Lady of Cyprus, moving some women of Achaea to follow after those Trojans she loves so hopelessly. Laying hold of the fair dresses of the Achaean women, tore the tenderness of her hand on a golden pin's point." So Athena is teasing Aphrodite and Zeus. She must have grabbed hold of a woman's brooch pin and hurt herself. So she spoke, and the father of gods and men smiled on her and spoke to Aphrodite the golden, calling her to him. "No, my child, not for you are the works of warfare. Rather, concern yourself only with the lovely secrets of marriage, while all this shall be left to Athena and sudden Ares." Now, as these were talking in this way with each other, Diomedes of the great war cry made for Aeneas. Though he saw how Apollo himself held his hands over him, he did not shrink even from the great god, but forever forward drove to kill Aeneas and strip his glorious armor. Line 435. And so Diomedes is attacking Aeneas, even though he can see Apollo protecting him. I mentioned at the beginning of this book, this is the Aristeia of Diomedes. He will shine in this book. Line 436. How many times will he try to cut him down? 3 times. Furious to cut him down, he drove forward, and 3 times Apollo battered aside the bright shield. But as a 4th time, like more than man, he charged, Apollo, who strikes from afar, cried out to him in the voice of terror, "Take care, give back, son of Tydeus, and strive no longer to make yourself like the gods in mind, since never the same is the breed of gods who are immortal and men who walk groundling." He spoke, and Tydeus' son, Diomedes, gave backward, only a little, avoiding the anger of him who strikes from afar, Apollo, who caught Aeneas now away from the onslaught and set him in the sacred keep of Pergamus, where was built his own temple. So Apollo takes Aeneas completely out of the battle. There, Artemis of the showering arrows and Leto within the great and secret chamber healed his wound and cared for him. But he of the silver bow, Apollo, fashioned an image in the likeness of Aeneas himself, and in armor like him, and all about this image brilliant Achaeans and Trojans hewed at each other, and at the oxhide shields, strong circles guarding men's chests, and at the fluttering straps of the guard skins. But Phoebus Apollo spoke now to violent Ares. So Apollo has swept Aeneas away to Pergamus, and what is left in battle? A fake Aeneas. Line 455. Ares, Ares, man-slaughtering, blood-stained stormer of strong walls, is there no way you can go and hold back this man from the fighting, Tydeus' son, Diomedes, who would now do battle against Zeus' father? Even now he stabbed in her hand by the wrist the lady of Cyprus, and again, like more than a man, charged even against me. Line 460. So he spoke, and himself alighted on the peak of Pergamus, while stark Ares went down to stir the ranks of the Trojans, in the likeness of the lord of the Thracians, swift-footed Acamas, and urged onward the god-supported children of Priam. So it isn't just fast-running Acamas, it is actually Ares disguised as him. Oh, you children of Priam, the king whom the gods love, how long will you allow the Achaeans, the Greeks, to go on killing your people, until they fight beside the strong-builded gates? A man lies fallen, whom we honored as we honor Hector the Brilliant, Aeneas, who is son of great-hearted Anchises. Come then, let us rescue our good companion from the carnage. So he spoke, and stirred the spirit and the strength in each man. Then Sarpedon spoke in abuse to brilliant Hector. Where now, Hector, has gone that strength that was yours? You said once that without companions and without people you could hold this city alone, with only your brothers and the lords of your sisters. I cannot see one of these men now. I know not where they are. Line 475. No, but they slink away like hounds who circle the lion, while we, who are here as your companions, carry the fighting. I've come, a companion to help you from a very far place. Lycia lies far away by the whirling waters of Xanthus. There I left behind my own wife and my baby son there. I left my many possessions, which the needy man's eyes longingly. Yet even so I drive on, my Lycians, and myself have courage to fight any man in battle, though there is nothing of mine here that the Achaeans can carry away as spoil or drive off. But you stand here, not even giving the word to the rest of your people to stand fast and fight in defense of their own wives. Let not yourselves, caught as in the sweeping toils of the spun net, be taken as war spoil and plunder by the men who hate you. All these things should lie night and day on your mind forever. Supplication to the lords of your far-renowned companions, to fight unwearying and hold off the strength of an insult. Sarpedon spoke, and his word bit into the heart of Hector. Straightway, in all his armor, he sprang to the ground from his chariot, and shaking two sharp spears, ranged everywhere through the army. Line 495. Stirring men up to fight and waking the hateful warfare, and these pulled themselves about and stood to face the Achaeans.